What's going on, everybody? Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Louis DiBiase here joining you on today's episode of Locked On Eagles, Tuesday, October 16th edition, alongside my co-host, Gino Camilleri. What's going on, Gino?
Just getting through the week. No news yet. I've been refreshing my Twitter feed about every 5 minutes to see what
looking
happens.
Looking for these trades, huh?
Hoping for a trade, yeah, but we did get some news a couple minutes ago, but nothing like we expected.
And, Gino, what was that news for the Eagles? They made a couple roster moves.
Yeah, so the first thing earlier today, they signed B.J. Bello, who is a linebacker, to the practice squad. He was most recently with the Browns, from my understanding. Haven't heard much about him. But then the quote-unquote bigger move, I would say, would be that they waived defensive tackle Destiny Vio, who's coming off his most productive game of the year where he had a sack. And they signed Dexter McDougal, who most people can remember was on the team last year for a few games. They traded away Terrence Brooks to the Jets to get him last preseason. He had a couple snaps. I can't remember anything he did in particular that was good or bad, but I think it's just a depth signing right now. Just in the meantime, while Sidney Jones is going to be out for a week or two.
Yeah, I understand that, and I think I was kind of confused at first when Vio got waived because the Eagles are pretty thin at defensive tackle, but Hester looked pretty good against the Giants. Haloti Ngata should be back soon, and who knows, Gino, you mentioned this on Twitter. Maybe Timmy Jernigan's coming back soon from the NFI list. I mean, he's a player. We talk about all the injuries that the Eagles have had, and he kind of just goes under the radar. So we're just, I don't know if people just assumed that he wasn't going to be coming back. He might be a cap casualty. That last year might have been the only time we ever see Timmy Jernigan in Midnight Green. But Timmy Jernigan, getting him back this year would be really big for this Eagles team, because having that second force in the middle that's a threat to get to the pass rusher, I mean, he slowed down in the second half of the season last year. But for the most part, Timmy Jernigan last year was a force, and he really helped free things up for Fletcher Cox.
Yeah, coming from that 3-4 system to the 4-3, he said that made a huge improvement on his game, because in that 3-4, you're focused on just opening the gaps for the linebackers to make plays. And when he played in college at Florida State, he was a more like get after the quarterback type defensive tackle, which we have been missing since he's been out. And you can see that. I mean, you really can't see it, though, because they brought in Michael Bennett, who's helped that inside rush a lot. But yeah. And also Fletcher Cox is playing at a defensive player of the year type level. But I'm chomping at the bit to get him back. Doug didn't seem too amused at him coming back anytime soon. He sounded very somber and downtrodden when he was talking about him last week in his press conference. But he posted a picture on Instagram today of him in his cleats. I don't know if it was practicing or a workout or what it was, but I'm thinking he's closer than we would expect for him to get back. I mean, think they would open up a hole that big at defensive tackle that was already thin unless they knew he had some sort of close time frame of coming back.
Right. I wonder, too, if the reason that the whole Eagles team has really been quiet on Jernigan is because, I mean, first off, it was an injury that he suffered with the Eagles. And another part, too, is, I mean, they did sign that contract extension with Jernigan last year, and, you know, he goes ahead and gets hurt this year, and he's out. He's been out for he's going to be out the majority of the first half of the season, if not into the second half of the year. We'll see when he actually does return, but I don't know. It just seems like maybe, too, they haven't really decided what they want to do with Jernigan long term, because, I mean, he does have he made a pretty decent-sized contract extension after a good season last year with the Eagles. I think they signed him, with the same amount of time? They signed him right around the same time as Alshon Jeffrey, right?
Yeah, those came within about a week or two apart.
So I just wonder, maybe they just think, you know, maybe they just haven't decided yet what they want to do with Jernigan, so they're just quiet with it. I don't know what the case is, but yeah, getting Timmy Jernigan back would be a huge addition to this Eagles team that, again, is already amazing at stopping the run, and Jernigan will help with that inside, but he's a younger, fresher, more explosive option to get to the quarterback than what they've been trotting out there next to Fletcher Cox. I mean, you know, they've been putting out there a 34-year-old Haloti Ngata and inexperienced guys like Vio and Hester, so, you know, it's a big add if Jernigan comes back this year. We'll see if it actually happens, but yeah, Dexter McDougal coming back, you're right, just adds a little depth to it. They do have still four healthy corners right now in Mills, Darby, Maddox, and Rasul Douglas, but it makes sense wanting to have some more depth at the cornerback position with Maddox playing a lot of safety in the past couple of weeks, and same with Rasul Douglas getting a lot of snaps at free safety last Thursday against the Giants, and we'll see if he gets more looks there with Sidney Jones still being out. I expect Maddox to be in the slot a lot, so with Douglas playing some safety until Corey Graham comes back, Dexter McDougal does provide some depth, though. I thought it was an interesting move, and, you know, it's not a huge one for the Eagles, but definitely noteworthy for the show today. And coming up on the Locked On Eagles podcast, so what we're going to do today as we kind of transition from Giants week to Panthers week, and we're going to start that up tomorrow with our crossover edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast with Locked On Panthers. Today, I want to talk about something, Gino, that I noticed on NFL Network, and the Brian Dawkins of Football Life aired, and then immediately after it, the NFL Network put out a top 10 list, as they normally do, and it was top 10 Philadelphia Eagles. And I thought this was interesting, and I want to get your thoughts on this, and I want to get the fans' thoughts as well. Hit us up at LockedOnBirds on Twitter, at DiBiase, L-O-E, at Gino underscore L-O-E. Tell us what you think about this. And really, the first topic I want to talk about is why Nick Foles did not make this list. Nick Foles was not on the top 10. And look, truthfully, I don't get it. I don't understand why Foles isn't on this list. I understand there was, in between that 2013 season and last year, there were seasons where he got benched for Case Keenum in St. Louis, and in 2014 with the Eagles, he was forcing the ball, and he was turnovers after turnover, and he didn't look like a starting NFL quarterback. But to me, with some of the players that got put in that list, you know, and you know, some of them were, you know, Chuck Bednarik, of course, to me, back in the day, he deserves to be on that list, and he should be in the top five. So I'm not disrespecting the history of the Philadelphia Eagles, but there were a lot of guys on the list that were from the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and I'll just be honest, it was a different time back then. It was a different competitive level. They were different types of players. I don't think they were all of the skill set that the NFL has right now. I think sports are at their best right now, not just in the NFL, but in every league, where the best of the best are in these leagues now, you know, with the amount of money and with the amount of, you know, technological advances and just the athleticism now that sports are showing. I just didn't agree with a lot of what the list had, and the main one was that Nick Foles did not make this list. Look, longevity isn't everything when it comes to greatness and when it comes to who are the best of all time on a certain franchise. To me, greatness has, it's more to do with just impact of what you did on that team, and the impact that Nick Foles had just in those few playoff games last year and in the Super Bowl outweighs to me anything that Randall Cunningham ever did with the Philadelphia Eagles or anything that LeSean McCoy did. You know, it was stuff of legends. He won the Super Bowl for the Eagles the first time, and he was the primary reason, if you ask me. He took down a dynasty doing it. He went toe-to-toe with Tom Brady. And it wasn't just that season. He had another historic season in 2013 with the Eagles. He threw 27 touchdowns and two picks. His jersey is in the Hall of Fame twice with the Philadelphia Eagles. And I just think those, yeah, it was only a couple moments in his career, but it was the most important moment in Philadelphia Eagles history. And why you would put a 40s running back, or why, you know, Jerome Brown, the legend that he is in Eagles history, only played five seasons with the team, and what he did to me in his career with the Eagles wasn't even close to what Nick Foles did. I think that Nick Foles should have been on the list. I think he is one of the greatest Eagles of all time, and I'm interested to get your thoughts on this, but the fact that he wasn't even in the top 10 does not make much sense to me.
I think there's a little bit of recency bias that plays into this Nick Foles take as well, but I have to agree to some extent, because when you think back at some of the most impressive seasons from Eagles quarterbacks, two of them come to mind. One is the 27-2 season that he threw, what, seven touchdowns in a single game against the Raiders.
Yep.
And then he took in half a season, he took the Eagles to the Super Bowl and beat Tom Brady. So you can't let that go by the wayside. And I mean, when you think back, say 50, 60 years down the road, who are we going to be telling our kids and our grandkids about?
Who's the one that has a statue outside of the stadium?
Exactly. I mean, that's exactly what I mean. In my opinion, he's one of the greats. He took down Tom Brady, something that Donovan McNabb couldn't do with, dare I say, a better offense almost, with Terrell Owens, who was at the peak of his career, you know.
And
Brian Westbrook. So
Andy Reid is your head coach.
And Andy Reid, yeah, exactly. So to do something that no other quarterback in Philadelphia Eagles history has done, and to do seven touchdown passes in a single game, one of which the only other person was Peyton Manning to do that. That's two impressive feats that I'm going to remember for the rest of my life, and I know for generations past are going to remember this, and I'd put him in my top 10, right at number 10, just due to that fact, but to leave him out is just you're not doing any right by him. He deserves it. He had two, I'd say 1.5 impressive seasons, but those 1.5 seasons are going to go down in the history books, and they are in the history books since his jersey is in the Hall of Fame twice.
And that's what I understand how talented some of those players were. Randall Cunningham is more talented than Nick Foles. He was Elastic Man. You know, he was tall. He was fast. He had a huge arm. He won MVP with the Eagles in the 90s. The individual performances, it's the main part of it, but what he did in just one game to me was more important than what any of those guys did, because what he did, like you said, Donovan McNabb couldn't do, Ron Jaworski could not do, Randall Cunningham could not do. Nick Foles went in and won a Super Bowl, again, against the best head coach of all time and against the best quarterback. It's stuff of legends, and it was only a couple games, but you have one of the statistically best playoff performances in NFL history for a quarterback, and you win a ring for the first time for a team. You take over for a quarterback that probably would have won MVP. You take over that team, and you lead them to a Super Bowl. That, to me, is worthy of a top 10 ranking for Nick Foles. And, again, just look at who has the statue outside of the Eagles Stadium. He did things that will be remembered forever in the NFL, the Philly special. People are going to be talking about every time we see Super Bowl montages of great highlights. You know, we see the Tyree catch, and we see the Santonio Holmes catch with the Pittsburgh Steelers against the Cardinals. The Nick Foles Philly special is going to be something we remember forever. So I don't like the argument that it was just a couple games and it was just one season in 2013. The guy also has stepped up more when the games mean more. I mean, look at his playoff performances. Not just the Minnesota game and the New England game, but that Saints game in 2013, Gino, he went off the field late in that game with the lead.
Yeah, he did. People forget that. Yeah, you're preaching to the choir there. I mean, I remember that Saints game like it was yesterday. He played well. They should have won that game, in my opinion. And then the next time he got a chance to go to the playoffs, he made a count. I mean, he didn't look great in the last couple games of the season, but he stepped up when it mattered. And we have a ring because of Nick Foles. And without him, I do think we would have beat New England with Carson Wentz, but to do what he did as a backup quarterback is just something that has only been done once in the history, back right. with the Giants when Phil Simms got injured.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean,
and if Wentz would have did it,
his legacy.
Yeah, and if Wentz would have did it, look, he'd already be on the list. That's the argument is what I'm making. Oh, it would 100%. Be the same thing as, oh, Wentz only has played two seasons so far. I'd be like, well, yeah, but he won a Super Bowl, and it wasn't just a Trent Dilfer-type Super Bowl where he kind of rode the coattails of a legendary defense. That wasn't the case at all. Again, Nick Foles, when we talk about the greatest playoff performances of all time, we look at Eli Manning in 2011, Joe Flacco the year after, you know, when he threw 12 touchdowns and no interceptions. And Nick Foles is one of the ones that we're going to talk about. You know, it's one of the playoff performances of all time that you're thinking, this quarterback just got hot and he could not be stopped. Let me ask you a question before we move on to our next segment. Do you think Nick Foles' number gets retired at the end of his career in the NFL with the Eagles? I'm very curious to get what you think about this. It's cool. It's a toss.
That's a tough one. It is a toss-up. I mean, I think a lot of it is going to rest on Carson Wentz's career and how he does. I mean, if Carson, God forbid, doesn't win a Super Bowl, I think he's bound to retire that number 9 just because he's done something that even the arguably going to go down as the best franchise quarterback in history didn't do. But if Carson walks away with 2 or 3, I think that first one is thrown by the wayside almost. And
so you think because the prominence of the Super Bowl itself, so the importance. So if they become the next Patriots and they win a bunch more, that one's not gonna. Okay, I get what you're coming from. I just think
how much has he done outside of that? It was the only thing I could think of. But my personal opinion, I would, because he was the first one to do it. Like, you have to enshrine him. He won the MVP. Pulled off some of the greatest plays we've ever seen, like with the flea flicker in the NFC Championship game, the Philly special. it's just something out of, you can't even write in a Hollywood like movie scene. Like it was something I'll never forget, and I would retire it. There's no reason anybody else should wear it, in my opinion.
Coming up next on the Locked On Eagles podcast, we're going to get into then our top 10 list. This is I want to do this exercise with you, see where you have these guys, because I want to tell you guys where I have Nick Foles on my list all the time, and we'll see what you guys think. Again, drop us a line at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase, LOE, at Gino_LOE. So that's coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast.
Yeah, before we get into that, Lou, you know, ever since I started this podcast with you, people have been asking me for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win, but if you think you know, you got to check out my bookie. And you guys, you know I haven't been that hot with my Geno's guarantees, and I apologize for that. I'll try to be a little better coming up. But remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with my bookie. Trust me, guys, they are your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use, so lay down some cash and win big today. I'd only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. I've had an account for years. I know Lou is on there as well. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm urging you to take your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet on the over-under of how many fantasy points a player will score each week. So join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar using promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, to activate your offer today. Visit MyBookie online today. Get there as soon as you can, and that's MyBookie. And don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. You win, you get paid, and you play all with MyBookie, and they will match our listeners' first deposit 100% up to $1,000. So, guys, go ahead, get some free money, and make the games a little more interesting for yourself this week.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri. We are talking all-time Eagles on today's show after NFL Network posted their top 10 Eagles list of all time. And one notable name that it left out was Nick Foles, and we talked about in the first segment how, you know, Foles to me should be on the list, and Gino agreed. You have him right at 10?
Yeah, I'll put him right at 10.
So, and to me, again, my argument was, I mean, it was a quick flash in the pan with Foles. Basically, that's been his entire career with the Eagles, was quick random instances of greatness. But that greatness did exist for Nick Foles in his career with the Eagles. And that's what we're talking about here, is not Nick Foles the Ram, not Nick Foles the Chief, Nick Foles the Philadelphia Eagle. And two of his seasons with the Eagles were historic, and one led, and I'm not going to just give him all the credit, Carson Wentz was a huge reason that the Eagles won the Super Bowl last year, but Nick Foles was the guy that had to take over for Wentz when he went down and played the best football of his life and won the Eagles their first championship. I mean, people try to lessen that, and it's because people say, well, Donovan McNabb, he played for 10 years, broke records, set records, really, and went to 5 NFC Championship games. Sure. But again, what, like you said, you made a good point in the first segment. Looking, you know, back, when we're telling our grandchildren about the Philadelphia Eagles when we were growing up, what moments are we going to tell them about? How many of them are going to include Nick Foles? There's probably going to be a lot of them. So that's, to me, why Nick Foles should be in this list. Let's give our top 10s here, because I thought the NFL Networks was definitely interesting. They left off some notable names, not only Nick Foles, they left off Ron Jaworski, they left off LeSean McCoy, they left off Brian Westbrook. So they left off some names that have played with the Eagles recently. Another guy, DeSean Jackson, was not in that list. So I'm interested to see, Gino, what your top 10 is, and I'll give mine as well, because I had a different list, a pretty different list than what NFL Network has. Well, let's start with you, though. Let me get your top 10 here.
Yeah, so at number 10, they had Randall Cunningham, which I don't think is a bad number 10 at all. But like I said before, I'm going to go with Nick Foles just for the sole purpose. You can't leave the only guy that brought us our first Super Bowl off that list. It's just a disservice to him. And to the 27-2 season, on top of having a great playoff game against the Saints, I just think you can't deny him being in that top 10.
Okay, number nine.
Number nine, I'll move Randall Cunningham up one spot. because we all know how he was. If he didn't injure his leg that 1 year, I think they had a legitimate shot at the Super Bowl. Just super unfortunate. We know how injuries are. And
it's definitely
Randall
what
was,
could have been with him, you know?
Yeah, it was unfortunate. I mean, I wasn't alive to see it, but I go back and watch all the highlights of it, and he was just an electric quarterback. He was Donovan McNabb before Donovan McNabb was Donovan McNabb. That's the way I'd like to put it.
You number watched eight, him, too, real quick with Minnesota. Remember,
yeah,
with that Chris
he was
Carter
great
Randy
there
Moss
too.
Team, and you think about, man, what could have been if the Eagles got him weapons like that when he was with the Eagles. So Cunningham is definitely interesting. It's definitely a what could have been with him, despite how good he was with the team.
I agree. Number eight, Jerome Brown. That defensive line they had in the early 90s was just out. There's not even an adjective you can put on how good they were. Him and Reggie Brown, that tandem is just out of control. Like, we look at Fletcher Cox now, and I think he'll go down as one of the top 10 Eagles ever when it's all said and done. But Jerome Brown, in the 5 years that he was with the Eagles, unfortunately passed away in a bad accident. He just made his mark. I mean, just look at his statistics. He was just unbelievable. And him and Reggie White could have been one of the best two best defensive tackle and defensive end combination ever to play if he didn't pass away, unfortunately.
Number seven?
Number seven, Harold Carmichael. Self-explanatory, one of
that
the best.
That guy was 6'8". I mean, yeah, imagine him with the Eagles right now, with Carson Wentz.
And he could fly. He was great. I love going back and watching his highlights.
He
him
still
and Mike
owns
Quaker
all the records
fun to watch.
For the Eagles for basically every receiving category. I mean, he owns the majority of them, which is crazy considering when he played in the 70s, when they just didn't, in the 80s, when they just did not throw the football that much.
Yeah, I know. And until the Eagles draft a receiver, like, early in the first round, that's going to be a great one, that's going to be a franchise receiver, I don't think any of those records are going to be broken with the way that they're passing right now, with spreading out their offense and getting a lot of weapons involved. So we're on to number six. I'm going to stick right with them with Tommy McDonald. I mean, he's, God rest his soul, he was one of the best ever. I love, why am I drawing a blank? I was going to say Mike Lombardi. Vince Lombardi.
Vince Lombardi.
His quote on him that he said, if he had 11 Tommy McDonalds, he'd win every game. I think that just, it's self-explanatory of how good he actually was back in the day. So then moving on, I'm at number five. Let's go with Donovan McNabb. I'm sticking a lot with their list just because I think it's true. I mean, yeah. Donovan McNabb, we all know what he did. Four straight NFC Championship games. He brought us to the first Super Bowl since Jaws brought us one. One of the best passers on the run to this day. Just wish he had more weapons around him. Wish T.O. stayed with him another year.
You don't think Todd Pinkston and James Thrash were good enough?
it was just laughable. Huh? The receivers
so
they gave
bad.
Up. Hank Baskett.
Oh,
it was terrible. It was
and
disgusting.
You got to feel bad for him, too, because when they finally built around McNabb, he was only able to use Macklin and Deshaun and McCoy and a young Brent Celek. He only got to use those guys he got Deshaun for 2 years, and the other guys he had for their rookie year, they went 11-5 in 2009, and they got shipped off to Washington.
Yeah, I mean, imagine those guys with him when in the early 2000s.
They
would have
won the Super Bowl. They would have won it all, at least once.
I agree. With his mobility in the pocket, you would have had to spy him every single game, and then to have LeSean McCoy, Jeremy Macklin, and Deshaun Jackson, and even Brent Celek. He was that year. A couple years he had with Donovan. He was electric. I mean,
he was a really good pass catcher early on in his career. People don't remember that a lot of the time because they see him as the blocker that he's been for the past before he retired 4 or 5 years. Really, I mean, he kind of became almost an extra offensive lineman. But he was before Ertz, he was a great receiving tight end.
Yeah, you have to look at the Miracle in the Meadowlands part two. He was part of the spark, one blown coverage. Vic found him the ball, and you see him running down the field. Oh, that vision will always be encapsulated in my head. But yeah, so like I said, Donovan McNabb, he's my number, what did I say, five?
Number five, so you're top four now.
Five. All right, top four. Now things get a little hairy. My top four, I'd go Van Buren.
Okay.
Just, he was LeSean McCoy before LeSean McCoy was LeSean McCoy, just like I said, for Jerome Brown and Fletcher Cox and the rest of the guys there. But I really have to go with like a 4A, 4B thing with him and LeSean McCoy, because it's Van Buren, what he did at the time was just so remarkable, but then you can't leave off the all-time leading rusher.
That's what I'm saying. Is how did NFL Network not put it
like this has to be like an 11 player type thing, because I can't leave LeSean McCoy off there. Like he's the all-time leading rusher for a reason.
I mean, I know it was only 6 years, but again, time for how long they spent with the team, that should not be the primary factor in making this list.
No, not at all. It's their accomplishments when they were with the team. And right. LeSean McCoy, we saw what he did.
And again, if one accomplishment weighs more than the other six, again, I go back to Nick Foles, that one accomplishment Nick Foles had, or McCoy becoming the all-time leading rusher, that weighs more than the majority of what these other guys did. I mean, a lot of it, too, with like Harold Carmichael was just pure talent. And he was also part of the team that made the Super Bowl. But, you know, regardless, that's what I'm thinking here is it's accomplishments, too, the weight of each individual accomplishment. And Nick, well, that's why, to me, McCoy should be on this list. Who are your top, your last few here, your top three?
So my last three, I'll go Chuck Bednarik. I wish I had the chance to actually watch him play, because yeah. I'm sure he was an absolute lightning rod.
Had the game-winning tackle to hand Vince Lombardi his only ever playoff loss.
Yep, and he has one of the greatest pictures in NFL history.
That's true, when he killed Frank Gifford.
Yep, Frank Gifford might still be laying on that field. But yeah, you can't deny it. He's Eagles lore. It's just one of the great players ever. He's a great human being, and I just wish I had the chance to watch him play. Like, we watch great linebackers now, and I'm sure back in his heyday, he was the guy. And
yeah.
The way everybody talks about him, it sounds like he was. And
Top two.
Reggie White, number two.
Mm-hmm.
He had his highest sack season ever in Philadelphia. I wish we never let him go, just like my number one guy, who I'll get to in a minute. But if he didn't leave either, I think they would have had a chance to win our first Super Bowl. But he's one of the great ever. He'll go down with Bruce Smith, and Lawrence Taylor is top three defensive ends ever. Maybe
he held
Michael Strahan
sack
up there
too. Before Strahan, Bruce Smith, Bruce Smith broke Bruce the all-time
yeah.
sack record. Strahan had the
in-season.
So, yep. I mean, this is the thing, too. Is like, I'm not going to put Foles ahead of your number one guy and Reggie White, just because those two were legendary Hall of Famers that they should have won a championship with this team. Like, Reggie White, too, it sucks. That Eagles defense might be the most talented of all time. Those 90s defenses, they should be right there with the Bears in the 80s and the Seahawks and of the 2014 season and the Ravens of 2000. You know, those defenses were that good, but just on the offensive side of the ball, they would have Randall Cunningham and that's it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Jerome Brown and Reggie White alone could carry any defense today.
Right, and then Seth Joyner and Eric Allen was one of the best ball hawks in the 90s. I mean, if you look at his interception totals, I mean, he had a season where he had 8 interceptions. So that defense was impressive. Speaking of defense, you're number one.
We all saw Friday Night Football life of Brian Dawkins, and man, that if he wasn't number one before, he was definitely number one after that.
If the Philadelphia Eagles were a person, it would be him.
He is the Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah. I don't care what anybody says. When you say Philadelphia, you think of number 20. You think of Weapon X. I will never forgive Joe Banner for allowing him to leave the team. That was just a disgrace.
Made 2 Pro Bowls with Denver out of his last 3 seasons.
And they let him walk. We don't have to talk about that. We'll talk about the good part of him. I'll remember in 2006, I saw him come out of the tunnel the game that Donovan McNabb tore his ACL. And I could care less that McNabb tore his ACL, because I was able to witness the magic and just, I'll never forget that energy of him coming out of the tunnel. Even just a week 6 regular season game, just the energy he put onto the field every single week was something that players nowadays can never exemplify. He was the Weapon X, as he liked to say. He wasn't himself. He was... I would say a god among men when he was on the field. He was a man possessed who it was his sole job to win the game and to do whatever it was necessary. The LG Crumpler hit was one of the best hits in NFL
history. LJ Crumpler was a huge tight end, too. That wasn't just some little receiver he knocked to the ground like that.
It put them into the Super Bowl, that hit. That deflated the entire Atlanta Falcons offense. He had major hits on Mike Vick. The list goes on and on, but he was everything you want in a player. He was everything you want in a leader. You know how people say, like, you can tell if somebody's fraud, like, with their leadership style, right. And, like, he was exactly what he said, and he showed it. And everything he talked about, like, with his mental health issues and everything, like, he is a man's man. He's just everything you want in a player and as a human being, and I will never forget Brian Dawkins. I have three of his jerseys. I love the man. If I had the chance to give that man a hug, I would never let him go because I absolutely love him. And
you ever done a Broncos Dawkins jersey?
No, I don't. Okay, but I wouldn't mind it. Yeah, and I forgot when they played in Philadelphia that how big of an ovation that he got. And he couldn't even come out of the tunnel because he was so nervous and so just sad that he wasn't in Eagles green anymore. And the most heartbreaking, or let's say, do happy moment from the Super Bowl, you can look at Nick Foles with his baby, but when I see Brian Dawkins lift the Lombardi trophy and start to cry, I cry every single time because you know how bad he wanted it. And in 04, I wanted nothing more than just to see him raise that trophy. And one of the greatest moments in Eagles history is him raising the NFC Championship trophy. And doggone it. He's my number one. I can't say anymore. Everybody can – they have their own thing on Brian Dawkins, and he was special to me in that organization.
So my list is pretty similar, but I do have some different names in this one. And, again, I'm not trying to come off as I don't appreciate the history of football and what guys accomplished back then, but it's more me appreciating just the level that professional sports are at right now, and especially with the NFL. With how good these guys are now, the athletes that the NFL is throwing out on the field. My top 10, I have Tommy McDonald at number 10. He was a guy that didn't wear gloves. I mean, this was a guy that could catch anything, and he was part of that team that beat Vince Lombardi in the 1960 championship. Number 9 is very different. I have DeSean Jackson in here, Gino. And
oh, man.
I think DeSean is closer to a Hall of Famer than he is a utility player. I think some people don't really appreciate just how good DeSean Jackson has been at, you know, is he a complete number one wide receiver like Calvin Johnson was or Randy Moss in the record books? No, he wasn't. But what he did at a historic level, and he still does. I mean, he's still in Tampa Bay right now. Pro Football Focus has him ranked as the number one receiver in the NFL so far through 6 weeks of the season. DeSean will go down as one of the best deep threats of all time. And he will come down, you know, currently, outside of Harold Carmichael, you know, I would probably say, I mean, Tommy McDonald's right there too, Mike Quick, but, and Alshon Jeffrey will probably be in this list too when his career is over with the Eagles, but DeSean Jackson to me right now would probably be the number two receiver of all time with the Philadelphia Eagles. And T.O. was only here for a season. If he was here longer, like you mentioned, maybe he's in this list, but DeSean Jackson was incredible, and he was great in big-time moments. In that 2008 NFC Championship game, as a rookie, he scored with just a couple minutes left. I think there was about 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. He beat
I was
going to
ask
Rogers
if you remembered that catch.
I remember it
catch.
Like it was yesterday.
I broke down into tears, and I will admit that.
That was the first time I really got a taste of prominent Eagles football because, again, I'm 21 years old. I'm a younger Eagles fan. I was kind of coming in really my mature football fan days. The Eagles, the McNabb, Dawkins era, that was kind of coming to an end, really. That was their last stand. And that's probably one of my, you know, it sounds ridiculous because it was 2008, but it was one of my first real clear Eagles memories. And when he scored that touchdown with only a couple, there was about 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter, he beats Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie, who we know, he was one of the fastest corners in the NFL. I mean, he could run toe-to-toe with DeSean. Rookie DeSean Jackson bobbles that ball, gets into the end zone to give the Eagles the lead. And not just that, but, of course, the miracle in the new Meadowlands. I mean, DeSean stepped up in big moments. And some numbers here. He tied, with that touchdown on Jalen Mills week 2, he tied Jerry Rice for most 60-plus yard touchdowns of all time. Just another one here. Deshaun, he has 7 career touchdown catches of 75 or more yards, tying Jerry Rice and Terrell Owens for the most since the merger in 1970. I mean, this is a guy that is setting the record books for his plays down the field. He has 4 touchdown catches of 80-plus yards. That's one shy of the NFL record by Jerry Rice, of course. So you can kind of get the theme that Jerry Rice is the best receiver of all time, but... And he has 28 career touchdowns of 50 yards or more. Just think of that. He still has a good amount of time left in his career. He has 28 touchdowns that are 50-plus yards. I mean, that's insane. To me, that deserves to be on this list. So DeSean Jackson is my number 9. Number 8, Harold Carmichael. I think he was born at the wrong time, because if he was a wide receiver right now, Gino, he might have been Calvin Johnson. I mean, he was 6'8", and like you said, he could fly. So Carmichael is my number 8. Number seven, Randall Cunningham. It was, again, him and Carmichael were a what could have been, really, because they had very successful Eagles careers. But you think if Carmichael was in a different era, if Cunningham was in a different offense with that Eagles defense, they should have won more than just one playoff game.
Imagine him in spread offenses nowadays. Oh, how electric he would be.
Can you imagine Doug Peterson? He would be one of the best in the league.
His skill set was not meant for that era.
Right. I still cannot find a good comparison for him. The tall, elastic, you know, bendy, athletic.
He could itch his ankles standing up straight. Like, that's how long his arms were.
Right. And normally a really tall quarterback like that, I mean, Carson Wentz is athletic, but I mean, the bend that Randall Cunningham had, he almost had the Kevin Durant-esque thing where he's just this giant that can do anything with his body. And yeah, so with Cunningham, imagine him in like Sean McVay or Doug Peterson's offense. I mean,
it would be electric.
It would be incredible. So he's my number 7. He set the new wave of quarterbacks, really. We think about what the NFL wants in quarterbacks right now. Randall Cunningham kind of describes all the traits now we're looking for in a Carson Wentz or Patrick Mahomes, you know what I'm saying? So, and Cam Newton. So Cunningham's at 7. Number 6, LeSean McCoy. He's the all-time leading rusher. He has to be on this list. He never had a playoff win with the Eagles. He still doesn't have one. But McCoy...
Maybe he will this year.
Yeah, well, I don't think so with the Bills. Maybe if they can... I mean, apparently the Bills want a second and more for McCoy, which I think is absolutely crazy, but... I really want to get him back to Philadelphia just so we can get a taste of playoff success. But he's at number 6 for me. All-time leading rusher. I think they're going to retire his number. It's crazy to think just how good he was. He broke that record in just 6 years as an Eagle. I mean, that's impressive.
The snow game I'll always remember, too.
Probably the most memorable moment. Or the 2013 Week 17 game against Dallas when they won the NFC East. That was another legendary game for McCoy.
That was the Brandon Boykin pick at the last second, right. If I'm not remembering.
Can you name the Cowboys starting quarterback at the time?
That was Kyle Orton.
Yes, it was. Good call.
I knew it.
Good Lord. Kyle Orton. But we took him down. McCoy was incredible, that one. Man, Kyle Orton. Because Tony Romo got hurt.
Yep.
That was a legendary game for the Eagles and for McCoy. Number 5, I have Chuck Bednarik. Number 4, McNabb. Again, I'm not trashing on McNabb. I think he's always been underappreciated as an Eagle. He did come up short in 4 NFC Championship games, which, I mean, a 1-4 record is really tough, but this guy did a lot with a little. You know,
one of those NFC Championship games, I'll get a sidetrack real quick. Okay. Which one of those hurt the most for you?
For me, it was probably Arizona, because that was my
most
vivid
memory.
They had
so much momentum going into that game.
They were so hot. I mean,
they smoked Pittsburgh earlier that year. I think they would have absolutely buried them. They sacked Roethlisberger 7 times.
Yeah, I think they would have won it all if they made it to the Super Bowl. And they were the Giants, right? I mean, they were the team that got hot in the playoffs, and we're trying to carry that over into a ring. That's what the Giants did 2 times, and that's what I saw with that Eagles team. And they beat the Giants in that playoff year. They beat Minnesota in the first round, and then they beat the Giants.
Yeah, that was the most improbable set of circumstances. Like, they had to have 2 teams win earlier in the day for them to even get a chance to qualify. Both of those teams that needed to lose were both favorites and both lost. Then they had to beat Dallas, which they beat 44-6. They go into New York, beat New York, go into Minnesota, beat Minnesota, have all the momentum in the world, were literally what the Giants were the year before, that wild card team that had all the momentum, and you felt that magic that you felt in the 2017 season in that year, and that's why it hurt so much for me. I mean, the early ones, I was younger, and they had the team, but they didn't really have that high-potent offense with the weapons that they had. But that year, you had DeSean Jackson, you had LeSean McCoy, you had Jeremy Maclin. You just had an elite offense that I think could have took it to Pittsburgh. But getting back to your – I just had to go on a little rant.
No, there. I'm with you. I thought that was the team that could have did it all, and it was a tough one. Kurt Warner and Larry Fitzgerald, I'll never forgive them for that. But, yeah, it was one of my first real memories of the Eagles just – almost, I was getting a taste of a championship. And then number three, Nick Foles. Look, again, like I said, everything I said, he was the guy that won the Eagles their first ring. And that, to me, deserves top three status here for the list. Number two, Reggie White, and number one, Brian Dawkins. They both epitomized what it was to be a Philadelphia Eagle, and they were Hall of Famers. And I'm glad that Dawkins got a ring as a member of the Philadelphia Eagles, not as a player, but as a member of the front office. Like you said, it was awesome to see him get that ring and raise that Lombardi trophy. All right, guys, coming up, we're going to wrap up the show. Talk a little bit about who are some current Eagles that could make the list. That's coming up at the end of their career. So that's coming up next. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our Locked On Eagles listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code CODE, C-O-D-E. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's Blue, B-L-U-E-Chew.com, promo code CODE to try for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today. All right, welcome back, everybody. Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri wrapping up the show. Gino, we talked about our top 10 Eagles of all time, talked about how Nick Foles should be on this list. I did not agree with NFL Network keeping him off of the list. Who are some players that are on this current roster? Because to me, Foles is already on it because he won that Super Bowl. And when their careers end, I think some of these other Eagles players right now should make the team or should make the list. Who are some of those guys that come to your mind? Because there's at least, I would say, three or four that I can think of off the top of my head that should be in consideration.
So I have three surefires and then two possible ones. I'll start with the two possible ones. I'll go down five to number one. Number five, Jordan Hicks. I think if he keeps on his pace with the amount of tackles he gets every year and just his leadership, I think he'll go down as one of the best linebackers in Eagles history. I mean, you have the great ones in the 2000s with the Jeremiah Trotters and et cetera. We know that whole band of brothers. But Jordan Hicks, the way he's been playing, he's a Pro Bowler, and he's going to be an All-Pro sooner or later. If he can stay healthy, I think he could definitely be on that list. Number four, Lane Johnson. We all know how good he is at that right tackle position. I don't know if right tackle is so well considered in regards to a left tackle. It should be, yeah. It's just as hard a position. A lot of teams put their best pass rusher on that side. I mean, look at the guys who he's faced. Von Miller, Khalil Mack, like the names go on, the guys that he's faced and had very impressive outings against. So if he keeps it up, he's going to be on that list. He's a potential Hall of Famer in my eyes with how good he actually is.
I'm with you on that.
So number three, I'll go Fletcher Cox, just because I think he's going to be the best defensive tackle in team history. Jerome Brown probably would have been if he would have been. Yeah, it is, because they've had some very, very good ones. I mean, Jerome Brown, his life was cut short, unfortunately. Probably would have solidified that role as the number one ever. But Fletcher Cox, I think he's going to come away with a couple Defensive Player of the Year awards. He's going to probably lead the team in sacks this year if the defensive ends don't pick it up. And he just keeps getting better and better in my eyes. And the leadership role he takes on, he's a quiet guy, but when he speaks out, people listen. And
you saw that with Jalen Mills 2 weeks ago against Minnesota.
Exactly. He's a very well-regarded player within the walls, and he's very underrated outside of the walls of the Lincoln Financial Field, which is a damn shame, in my opinion, because he's a top two defensive tackle, probably the best defensive tackle in the league in my eyes, and he needs to get more recognition than he does. But we all know how good he is here. He gets doubled and triple teamed and still manages to put up numbers, and he's going to go down as the best defensive tackle in Eagles history, yeah. Bar none. Then number two, the ginger Jesus, Carson Wentz. I think he, when it's all said and done, he's going to have 2 to 3 Super Bowls underneath his belt.
I think he'll be probably the best all lead. Time.
He's going to be the best all time in Eagles history. He's going to lead every single statistic that they have, probably interceptions
as well. Already
has
a couple
well.
Of them.
Yeah, he does. And he's just going to keep getting better and better. He is a franchise quarterback, and he's everything you want as a human being as well, and he's going to go down as one of the best ever to do it, just not in Philadelphia, but as a quarterback. And then number one, Jason Peters, one of the best left tackles ever to play. It's a shame that he's gone down a little bit in the past couple weeks. He's been faced with injuries the past couple seasons, but when you saw him tear his Achilles last year, to see guys from the other team coming over and just like giving him respect just shows you how well regarded, how highly regarded he is as a player and as a person. And he's one of the best left tackles, one of the best stories ever. He comes out of college as a tight end, and then all of a sudden he gets shifted to the left tackle and is a all-star, all-pro, every other award you want to give him. He's going to get a gold jacket sooner or later, probably with maybe a first ballot Hall of Famer, who knows, but he's one of the best Eagles offensive linemen ever.
So another guy that I agree with everything you said there, I think Carson Wentz is going to end up being the best all time. Not just the best quarterback, but he, to me, might go down as the greatest Eagle. If he wins a couple rings, with it being him being a quarterback, he already owns the single season passing touchdowns record in just 2 years that he played before this year. Zach Ertz is another guy, Gino, I think. He is also on a Hall of Fame pace.
Well.
Right now, he, just for this year, he's on pace to have, I think, 1,200 yards, and I was doing the math the other day, and 120 catches.
Whew.
That is unreal. If he surpasses 100 catches and has over 1,000 yards, I mean, people love to give Rob Gronkowski the hype and Travis Kelce. I think Zach Ertz is the best tight end in football this year so far, and he'll go down as one of the best pass catchers in Eagles history, one of the best weapons. You know, we talked about DeSean Jackson and Harold Carmichael and LeSean McCoy. Zach Ertz is going to be up there, and he had the game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl. Ertz is also, to me, someone that they will consider on the list down the road. So definitely an interesting topic to talk about today. I think Nick Foles belongs on the list. I think NFL Network messed up. He, again, was the guy to get the Eagles their first ring, but definitely an interesting conversation. We would love your feedback on our list, on our thoughts on Nick Foles not making the list. Drop us a line at LockedOnBirds, at DiBiase LOE, or at Gino_LOE, and check out all our content at LockedOnEagles.com or at the podcast feeds, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, anywhere that you want to find Locked On Eagles, we are up and available on those platforms. So we thank you for listening today. We'll be back tomorrow for Crossover Wednesday with Locked On Panthers as we move on to Carolina Panthers week. That's going to do it for myself and Gino Camilleri. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you, and let's go, Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.